بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم جميعا أخواني وأخواتي العزيزات ورحمة الله وبركاته. And welcome to another session for today's, that is the night of Ashura. As you can see, we had two choices today, either to speak about some, you know, recommended acts of worship during the day of Ashura, then the night of Ashura, and to speak about, you know, emotional things and that, this and that, or to emphasize again on the fundamental ideas and theories and intellectual approach of Imam Hussein's revolution. So, as to prioritize between these two, here and again, today I have chosen another work that is dedicated for the intellectual side. And I can just summarize it with one hadith, as from our Prophet and Imam. He said, فَقِيهٌ زَاهِدٌ or الرَّجُلُ الْعَالِمُ, someone who's intellectual, someone who's knowledgeable, is of more importance for my ummah than someone who's just, you know, worshipping and, you know, عَابِد, زَاهِد. Or in another narration, we say, فَقِيهٌ زَاهِدْ أَشَدُّ عَلَى الشَّيْطَانِ مِنْ سَبْعِينَ أَلْفْ عَابِدٍ. A dedicated jurisprudence and scholar is valuable for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is the real enemy of shaitan. Compare it with 70,000 of worshippers. Why? Just take the example of when you go to Hajj nowadays. How many Muslims are worshipping Allah? But wouldn't that be a perfect example of وَمَا أَكْثَرَ الْضَجِيجِ وَمَا أَقَلَّ الْحَجِيجِ. We don't want Imam Hussein's revolution never to be acts. We just return matam, majlis, and finish. And if anyone would come to us and say, why did Imam Hussein revolt? He wasn't pragmatic, for example, like his brother. Huh? Oh yeah? So Imam Hassan was a pragmatic leader. So he was a wise man. Imam Hussein, on the other side, contrary to his brother, he rebelled and he made a revolution. He miscalculated. He didn't know what to do. So we don't want such a nonsense to be unanswered by our Shia community. This is the main reason for today's discussion. If you agree with me, I will cover that, and then we'll cover as well a little bit so what is recommended during the night of Ashura. If you agree, I want you to recite loudly salawat. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى بيته الطيبين الطاهرين واللعن الدائم على أعدائهم ومبغضيهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. Today's discussion is Shia between quietists and revolutionaries. Actually, this technical term, I would say, this term of revolutionary came into the terminology or the dictionary of Shia Islam after the Iranian revolution, the Islamic revolution. And therefore they used to use the word, you know, Inqilabi, which means there are people who are revolutionaries, those who are non-revolutionaries, or rather to be called quietists. Uh-huh. So, and some of them started to distinguish. There are some Shia who are revolutionaries, some Shia are quietists, you know, And some of them even has gone that far to say some of them follow the Husseini style, some of them follow the Hassani style. As there is somehow contradiction between two brothers who are Sayyida Shababi Ahlul Jannah. Which is completely nonsense. Second, or as we said, there are people speaking about Imam Hussein being a man who did not follow the rules of pragmatism, or he wasn't like, you know, a man of taqiyyah. So let's see whether this would hold, you know, criticism. Now Shia are actually being accused as to be, you know, having shakable ground. They are not clear what they believe. I quote Nikki Kiddi, states in a book, I quote, "Today's Shiism seems like a school that encourages political dissidents, as in Lebanon, Iraq, Arabia, Pakistan and elsewhere, or even revolution, as in Iran. At various times the Shia have supported the status quo, and nearly times the Shia have supported the various times the Shia have supported the status quo and nearly every religious sect or even political doctrine. Shiism is seen as essential and changing by its adherent. When revolution is in the air among many Shias, they will tend to stress revolutionary and dissidents. And quietism and support for the ruling power is considered doctrinal, as it often was. This would be considered the doctrines of Shia founders." Unquote. Now, reading between the lines, I came to conclude somehow the author trying to convince the reader that Shia Islam in general, they have differing tendencies. Sometimes they are quietists, sometimes they are revolutionaries. When he claims that it seems that Shiism is a school which encourages political dissidents, as in Lebanon, Iraq, or even a revolution in Iran, he's saying that it depends whether the Shias are quietists or revolutionaries, as is, he said something in the air. So whatever people say, they just follow him after. All right? Well, in fact, we disagree on that. As this author has ignored the pure teaching of our Shia Imams. When he says, for example, today, so he has overlooked Imam Hussein's revolution, you know, entirely, as it did not exist. Yet nearly every religion can use this method and claim it as its doctrine. The writer is somehow implying, however, that the Shia are misusing religion. Claiming to be quietists, and yet when they want action are seen leaping to their support of revolutionary opinion. So what are we actually? Are we revolutionaries? Are we quietists? And we have even faced, you know, this example, this question by some of the Shia Ikhwan Muslimun, you know. They ask us, especially, you know, from Iraq. They said, you know, we have just embraced Shia Islam, but we got a problem. We cannot understand you Shia. In Iran, you say, Shaitan al-Akbar, USA, this, you know, USA, this, great, etc. In Lebanon, you have different style of Muqawama, but in Bahrain, your people, they went back and they settled the relation with the king, and then when they came into power, and they are working within the already existing, you know, king. In Iraq, for example, they have gone that far, you know, to kiss the American president, and they're in good relationship, and mashallah, there is democracy, and it seems that Shia Islam supports democracy. So what is it? They are really confused. Well, the answer is as simple as that. We follow our divine teaching. Sometimes our divine teaching says do this, so we do it this way. Sometimes say do it this way, so we follow that way. That's it. So simple. As the example of Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, I'm asking you, didn't Imam Hussein live during the time of Imam Hassan? Yes. Why didn't he rebel and do anything? Because the time was totally different. So it required different actions, different tactics. So therefore he did not fight. And when people even came to him, he said, you know, this Hassan, you know, he has misled people, so why don't you fight and we're going to support you? He said, no. Keep at home. And my brother was right. So, we can say that we are purely mujahids fi sabilillah. فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ الْمُجَاهِدِينَ عَلَى الْقَاعِدِينَ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. And this is the translation of the Quranic verse, chapter 4, verse 95, the translation of Shakir. And Allah shall grant to the strivers above the holders back a mighty reward. Holders back, qa'idin, not doing anything. Just, you know, sitting and not doing anything. The Shias are not quietists in the negative sense, but follow taqiyya, which is to act with wisdom and make a wise and rational decisions. To be revolutionary means to stand against oppressors, the unjust. Even to fight against your own ego means you are what? A mujahid. And in our Islamic literature, this has been described as to be a jihadul akbar, actually. So you may fail in the jihadul akbar, you may be successful in the jihadul akbar, i.e. to fight. Well, you're going to fail in the jihadul akbar, to stand against your own ego. So, therefore we will say that we are willing to follow the truth regardless. Even if it requires sometimes that we have to sacrifice our life. So we will do it. And I am asking here this question. Didn't Imam Hussein alayhi salam know that he is going to face martyrdom? No, he knew that. And he was telling his people, Sha'Allah an yarahunna sabaya, Sha'Allah an yarani shahida, Sha'Allah, this is the will of God, I can't change it, which means I have been ordered and this is a divine guidance. This, what does it mean? So Shias are not misusing religion, as this man was, you know, someone anticipating to say. It is simply that the conditions they face determine their course of action. That's it. Just put it in this way. They are facing different conditions, therefore they have different decisions. Decisions are made with wisdom and must be appropriated to be appropriate for the prevalent circumstances. So they calculate the consequences and think wisely before taking action. However, this does not mean that they are pragmatist in its American philosophical sense. Why here we talked about pragmatism? Because it is a pure American philosophical product. Just like Coca-Cola. So they are actually following the divine teaching, but they are not being pragmatist in that sense of its American philosophical definition. Rather, they are men of divine wisdom. So let us then now compare, try to present a comparison between pragmatism and taqiyya. They would say pragmatism in Shia Islam is equal taqiyya. Shia Muslims believe in taqiyya. Yes, we believe in taqiyya. But what has this to do with this American concept of pragmatism? They're totally different, by the way. Do not get things mixed, you know. Some of these journals will say, Orientalists, when they read our history, they say Imam Hassan was a pragmatic leader. Therefore, he capitulated, you know. He was a wise man. He is pragmatic. And Imam Hussein, no, he wasn't pragmatic. Wrong. We believe taqiyya is not identical with the American concept of pragmatism. Why? Let's define taqiyya first. What does it mean, taqiyya? Taqiyya is actually presented and to be traced back from the Quranic verses, references such as verse chapter 3, verse 28, إِلَّا أَن تَتَّقُوا مِنْهُمْ تُقَاد, unless you pretend something in order to escape, you know, the severe circumstances. Or chapter 16, verse 106. And that is referring to the story of Ammar ibn Yasir, when he was tortured by the polytheists of Mecca, and they told him, اذكر آلهتنا بخير, mention our ilahs, our, you know, idols, our, they were idol worshippers. And he said, Hubal, okay, what do you want, Hubal? They killed his father, they killed his mother, you know, Yasir and Sumayya, rahmatullahi. They were, Sumayya was the first woman who was martyred in Islam. But Ammar survived that. And Muslims, they say, oh, Ammar has gone astray because he mentioned Hubal. And the Prophet looked at him amongst all other Muslims. He said, يَا عَمَّارُ إِنْ عَادُوا فَعُدْ. If they would again try and repeat the same action, just say it, don't worry. And he addressed the Muslims saying, لَقَدْ مُلِئَ عَمَّارٌ إِيمَانًا إِلَىٰ أَخْمَصِ قَدْمٍ. He's full of faith. But you don't understand. This man is full of faith. لَقَدْ مُلِئَ عَمَّارٌ إِيمَانًا إِلَىٰ أَخْمَصِ قَدْمٍ. So then this Quranic verse was revealed. إِلَّا مَنْ أُكْرِهَ وَقَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنٌ بِالْإِيمَانِ. If your heart is full of the faith and devotion to your Lord, don't care. They say this, okay, say. Once you are under severe circumstances, once you are under torture, whatever it is said has no value actually, according to the law and legal, you know, system. So, taqiyya in its concise definition means to keep the faith, which is the essence of the religious practice, while outwardly to pretend doing otherwise. It's merely a practical way out while suffering from or being under severe circumstances, torture. So it can be perceived in the light of the principle of wisdom or the principle of moderation. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. Taqiyya means to be on the moderate path. Or to be wise as how to act in your practical everyday life. Okay? So this is what does mean taqiyya. What about the American concept of pragmatism? By the way, I have chosen here a good picture from Iraq. Although it's very narrow there, you can see an American tank was, you know, during the what they call invasion of Iraq. And you can see that happened exactly after a few weeks. And Iraqis, millions of them, they just all gathered and to walk towards Karbala, what's called Ziyaratul Arba'in. And that's a good reminder for the American pragmatism. So, American philosophical pragmatism, according to the Stanford Encyclopedia of Philosophy, what do they say? I quote, Pragmatism is a philosophical tradition that originated in the United States around 1870. By whom? By Charles Peirce. The most important of the classical pragmatists were Charles Peirce, William James, John Dewey, and the influence of pragmatism has declined, but it has undergone revival since 1970s. By whom? By the philosophers being increasingly willing to use the writings and ideas of the classical pragmatists, and also a number of thinkers. Who are these thinkers? Thinkers like Richard Rorty, Hilary Putnam, and Robert Brandom. Developing what? A philosophical view that represent later stages of the pragmatist tradition. All right. The core of pragmatism was the pragmatist maxim, a rule for clarifying the contents of hypotheses by tracing their practical consequences. This is what's all about, actually, pragmatism. Pragmatism is based to emphasize or focus on the consequences of your decision and your acts. So the practical consequences. In the work of Peirce and James, the most influential application of the pragmatist maxim was to the concept of truth. So what does it mean, truth? In the American, you know, philosophical dictionary, truth according to them means something which it works. If it didn't work, is it truth? No, because it didn't work. And according to that, you know, they came with their own worldview, with their own philosophical concept, and they tried to impose it in our ideology. And therefore, they say, Imam Hassan was a pragmatic leader, because it worked. And Imam Hussein, no. He wasn't that wise like his brother. Nonsense. Truth does not mean when it works according to your short-sighted view. No. Anyway, pragmatists have also tended to share a distinctive epistemological outlook, a fallibilist, anti-Cartesian approach to the norm that govern inquiry. He's referring to the epistemological, principle that has been, later on established by Putnam, that he believed that pragmatism is a combination of anti-skepticism and fallibilism. Now, anti-skepticism, not to be skeptical in that sense of its philosophical sense, and fallibilism, which means our conclusions, our ideas, all of them could be wrong, which means there is nothing which is true. So to believe in Allah could be false. That there is a Prophet who existed 1400 years ago, this is, could be false as well. So nothing actually is perfect. Nothing is, could be correct. Therefore we say, we believe taqiyya is not identical with the American concept of pragmatism, as we don't share their epistemological foundation. It's totally different. Now, epistemology means, for those who don't know, the source of our knowledge and how can we justify whether our knowledge is correct or incorrect. That is a branch within philosophy. It's called epistemology. All right? So as we do not agree and share the same ideas and theories, therefore we say nonsense. Taqiyya is not identical with pragmatism. Finish, full stop. Taqiyya is dedicated to the practical way of living. This is a totally different concept. Within modern political context then, what do you mean? Truth is truth. This is our belief, because it is true, and we have approved that, and we have had arguments for that. Alright? Even if it did not work for the short-sighted, one-sided thinker. That's what we have used the example. Those journalists, when they look and try to analyze Imam Hussein's revolution, they say he wasn't a pragmatic leader, therefore he failed. And the truth, when it works, as it didn't work, it was a complete failure according to their definition of victory and failure. Therefore, he wasn't a pragmatic leader. His brother on the other side, contrary to his brother Imam Hussein, Imam Hassan was a pragmatic leader. Nonsense. Imam Hussein and Imam Hassan is not as what you think, that he is a pragmatist while Imam Hussein was a revolutionary idealist. Why? Because we only follow the divine guidance. Our imams have confirmed for us, we follow divine guidance. Imam Hassan received the divine guidance to capitulate after fighting for a short while, short period, but Imam Hassan did so because he was required to do so. Imam Hussein received the guidance, the divine guidance, to fight. We don't care what you think. So, they have confirmed for us that their decisions are not personal choices, based on whims and will or desires, nor were they motivated by false visions and fake hallucinations. You know, nowadays there are some presidents receiving visions from Allah, and God, you know, is talking to them to, you know, do this and go to Iraq and do this and fight and do this, and, you know. No, we don't believe in that. Rubbish. So they were divinely inspired, motivated by their love and devotion to adhere themselves to the truth. And when we say hate truth, the bitter truth sometimes. So when Imam Hussein was ordered to fight, wasn't that a bitter truth? It is so bitter that he had to sacrifice some of his youngest family members. Wasn't he willing to do so? Of course. And was so happy to do so. To sacrifice his life after that. Why? Because this is how we want to be following the Quranic teaching. One of the companions of Imam Ali alayhi salam, Hijr ibn Uday, you can find him while you're traveling to Bilad al-Sham, Syria. Dimashq, Marj Adra, some place, it's a location called Adra. Still, nowadays it's called Adra. They took him, he, Hijr ibn Uday, and his son. He had a young son. And they said, you have to give up your belief in, not Islam, rather Imam Ali. Al-Bara'a min Ali. Otherwise, chop your head. This is order. From whom? From Amirul Mu'minin. Who's Amirul Mu'minin? Muawiyah. Alright? You know what did he say? He said, no, I won't give up. I want to live according to the life of the Prophet ﷺ and Ahlul Bayt ﷺ. And I won't give up my faith and believe in Ali. Because that's what it's all about. Alright, then we're going to chop your head and your son. Whom should we start with first, they said. He said, first me, and then he said, no, let's start with my son. What do you want, my son? He said, no, I am on the right path following Ali, barakallah, my son. So they chopped his head. And then they asked him, why? How could you? Do you have a heart of stone? How could you manage to see your own son getting his head chopped in front of your eyes? Don't you have any mercy? He said, no, because I am a man of honor and I wanted to die and be sacrificing myself, and I was afraid that my son was going to see how hard it is to get the head chopped, then he would give up. So I wanted to be sure that he is in front of me to paradise. These are the real Shias. The real Shias during the day of Ashura, they were happier, the more they were closer to death. كانت وجوههم تشع نورا كلما اقتربوا من الشهادة. And according to one of them, they said, "Are you crazy?" He said, "Yo Allah, حب الحسين أجنني." I became insane being in love with him. So they have accomplished their aspiration for perfection. In fact, they have different rules, but one ideology. We know, for example, Imam Hassan capitulated because that was his duty, while Imam Hussein, he fought because that was the divine order. Suppose that Imam Hassan came into life exactly in the same time Imam Hussein came, and Imam Hussein was born before him. What do you think Imam Hussein would have done? Huh? According to those people, they say, well, it's related to their personality, and Imam Hussein was an idealist, so we would have thought, no. We say exactly the same. So they have only different roles, but they have one ideology. So they would have done exactly the same, and vice versa. In conclusion, they represent one unique ideology. So Shias are following their Imams in their divine wisdom, and the Shias are neither quietist nor revolutionaries. Quietist in the sense that they are supporting oppressors. No. Nor revolutionaries in the sense of starting a political movement without considerable necessary planning. The writer attempts to use the differing decisions of Shia leaders to form his own interpretation of Shiism. He incorrectly asserts that Shiism is a movement that transmutes according to their wishes. Now, the conclusion is, Shia Islam is following the divine light that was given to the Prophet ﷺ and his Ahlul Bayt ﷺ, and our Shias are mainly assiduously following in their footsteps. First. Second, they are neither quietists nor revolutionaries, but rather mujahideen fi sabilillah, doing whatever requires them to do. Third, they are not pragmatists in its American philosophical sense, nor opportunists, as they remain silent when they must, fight when they must, and capitulate when they must, everything being divinely guided and inspired and never being misled by a fake vision. Never. Now, today's actually night, as we have promised you, to tell you just a taste of what is recommended. You know that that night Imam Hussein alayhi salam, they decided to fight, and they wanted to start fight. Then Imam Hussein asked them, so ask them permission just for one night. فَإِنَّهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ تَعْلَمْ إِنِّي يُحِبُّ الْعِبَادَ وَذِكْرَ اللَّهِ. So they spend the night worshipping Allah, memorizing Him. And according to the narration, كَانَ لَهُمْ دَوِيٌّ كَدَوِيُّ النَّحْرِ. Like whips. And everybody was passing by their caravans, he could hear how they were praying, reciting Quran. So if you want to share that reward, according to the narrations, if you remain the whole night awake and worship Allah and do some of what is recommended of act of worship, learn about Imam Hussein, you will be rewarded during the day of judgment to be called as if you have fought with Imam Hussein salatullah wa salamuhu alayhi. So one of these recommended act of worship, to pray 100 rak'ah. I know, it's too much. You say, we've just finished in Laylatul Qadr. Another Laylatul Qadr. Well, it's up to you, optional. After reciting Alhamd, you have to recite three times Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad. Once you finish, you just recite Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Wa La Ilaha Illallah, Wallahu Akbar, for 70 times, adding this, Wa La Hawla Wa La Quwwata Illa Billah Al-Ali Al-Azim. Or in another narration, that you recite four rak'ahs in the last part of the night, and you recite in each rak'ah, after hamd, ayah kursi, tawheed, falaq, and nas, 10 times. And then after you finish your four rak'ahs, you recite surah tawheed, qul huwa allahu ahad, 100 times. Once you finish these prayers, أكثروا من ذكر الله والصلاة على رسوله واللعن على أعدائهم ما استطعتم. As it has been narrated, as I said, I quote in Arabic, إن من أحياها فكأنما عبد الله عبادة جميع الملائكة وأجر العامل فيها يعدل 70 سنة ومن وفق في هذه الليلة زيارة الحسين عليه السلام بكربلاء المبيت عنده حتى يصبح حشره الله تعالى يوم القيامة ملطخا بدم الحسين عليه السلام في جملة الشهداء. اللهم ارزقنا في الدنيا زيارة الحسين وفي الآخرة شفاعة الحسين يا أرحم الراحمين. ادعوا الإمام الحجة صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم كل وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. Now I want from you, please, after reciting the salawat, to recite Surah Al-Fatiha for all those who have fallen as martyrs, whether in Gaza, Iraq, Iran, you know, by the terrorists, Pakistan, you know, we have so many martyrs in these days. And while before reciting Surah Al-Fatiha, I want you to recite loudly Salawat. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.